welcome to the With the Will podcast, where to entertain, inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Will and produce Digimon and Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and this chapter of Liberator will better make you a scaly.
It's been a few weeks. I've changed out video cards since then, after an adventure in it being mailed to the wrong place.
Oh, they sent it to your old address?
Have you ever ordered something from Best Buy and it keeps trying to do the auto fill-in for the address?
Thankfully not, just because I don't order anything from Best Buy.
So I thought I had completely removed it, and I realized right after ordering it, it did not. And it grayed out the change address button. And also the customer service was slightly confused at the button being grayed out. And then it got delivered to the old address where it sat out front in 2 days and no one would touch it for some reason.
Oh, usually you have to worry about those packages being touched without permission.
No, like that's the thing. For a day and a half, I couldn't get a hold of the leasing office there. I had the picture of it being delivered. When I finally got a hold of the leasing office, they're like, yeah, it's still in front of the building. The tenant says they won't deal with it. And for some reason, they never sent anyone to go get it. So it just sat there.
So fantastic.
So I got it, but luckily that's not an open area. So it was fine, unboxed it, got it into the computer. And the GPU that was running slightly too hot is now in the new one's box and will make a backup if anything goes horribly, horribly wrong.
Hopefully it doesn't, but you know.
Yeah. Oh, no, nice to have the backup. We've both had equipment to go ass up on us.
Well, now that you have the backup, that assures that it's not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, Dev, after last time, aren't you kind of happy that it's like almost a calm show?
Yes.
First up.
I was so tired.
Liberator. So 12-2, it's very much a play the card game chapter. There's some character conversation stuff, but most of it is play the card game.
Yeah. Which I barely paid attention to.
Do you think the weirdest part was the dramatic thing, the whole story never happened?
Yeah, it's like, dude, Shoto, you were like fucking 12. How the hell do you make like a grown ass adult collapse and be sick? Like,
yeah, dude. No, but I even like, and it does the real thing where Owen even points out whatever Shoto's talking about, he never said. Like, this is in his head that like he's so upset about what happened that he decided Owen said this stuff to him.
Like, Shoto, you were 12 and also delusional. Just fucking chill, man.
And then Cool Boy got Tron'd away.
I was about to say something, but that might be inappropriate.
I will say that ending, if I could imagine that being exactly identical if Liberator was not continuing. Like, I could see that actually being the end where, like, it's just they put the end slightly earlier, and then you see that Cool Boy has vanished with no idea what happened. Doesn't that feel
it's
very much like
ran off in a loop with Unchained?
Yeah. So later this week we start year two of Liberator. I like the ending. I do kind of wish it was a bit less card gamey, just so it was a bit more enjoyable for me personally. Although at least it doesn't have magic card bullshit that doesn't exist for this battle.
At least it's functional as a how to play the fucking card game.
Yes. So that's nice. Then we get the battle coverage of that, and they call it Dragonkin Aggro. And soon enough, we'll have year two of Liberator with the very Power Ranger-esque uniforms. So we'll see how that goes. And then, wave of anniversaries. So, 24th anniversary of Digimon Tamers. Then, big 25 for Digimon Adventure 02, which probably means for much of the year, it's going to be O2-O-Rama. And I'm looking forward to seeing what we get from it.
Please give us some Digimon Kaiser merch, please.
It feels like that's a guarantee, don't you think? We'll
probably just give more generic Ken stuff. But I mean, the only thing I have is the Otodama.
Yeah, and 19th anniversary for Digimon Savers.
Well, hopefully next year they get a little bit of love.
It feels like if they don't announce a Blu-ray box around this summer or fall for around when the 20th hits, it might never get one. Then, 5 years for Digimon Adventure 2020. It does not feel like it's been 5 years.
It doesn't. Wait, this starts during the plague times.
Yeah, it really does not feel like it's been 5 years for that show. It's we wild that's that. Then 23 for Digimon Frontier. You know what's weird? Frontier doesn't feel like it's 23, because doesn't it feel like we were just talking about the 20th anniversary of Frontier?
Time is an illusion.
Yes, it is. Then the second anniversary of Digimon Seekers. That one I'm trying to figure out if it really feels like it's been done for a year at this point. Maybe. And then it's been 9 years since Wada Koji passed. That, like, that amount of time is weird to think of when you consider how old the anime is and everything.
Yeah, it's just...
it's like very soon we're going to pass that period where he's been gone for longer than half of the anime's existence.
Fucking sad.
Yeah. And then to get weird, we have Ghost Game Dev news from an interesting place. So most people, I assume, probably have never heard of J-Lox before.
Not at all.
J-Lod is probably better known among anime fans who know that some of it... I believe J-Lod started as part of an outreach having to do with Cool Japan, which is their support Japanese cultural stuff around the world because it's soft power and so forth.
Okay.
So J-Lox spun out of that, and they do various short reports on, you know, stuff that the money's gone towards. Because the idea is you put money towards Japanese cultural stuff outside of Japan, and that helps Japan.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And they put up one saying that they had done the subsidy, which paid for 33 episodes of Ghost Game to be English dubbed. So the interesting thing here is they tag it as part of Toei Europe, but no clarification why that is. It may be that it had to do with a European grant or anything. But as far as we know, it is being dubbed in Los Angeles. And as far as I know, it's being dubbed by a studio that isn't necessarily known for anime work. So we will see what that means.
What do they do then? Do they just do other animation or?
Well, you got to remember, think about how many things get recorded, especially if you need them in English. Most of the time, you will want it to be a place that has native English speakers and has access to actors rather than just whoever's around. So I don't know the exact studio off the top of my head, their name, but it is, I think it's dubbing generically movies and TV shows that aren't English.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see what it is. Since the grant was for 33 episodes, we don't know what that means at the moment. It probably means they dubbed half of it with that grant, or there could have been other grants for more, so we'll see. People are taking the tag of Toei Europe, meaning it will be a Europe-first thing, and that doesn't necessarily mean that, but we will see. But they did specifically mention that it should be released in the UK and Ireland by the end of the year.
For them. Well,
that's the thing. I would not expect discs in the UK. We've gone over the BBFC fee stuff before, and streaming and video on demand is actually exempt from those at the moment. So we will see where it pops up and when, but it does theoretically mean that we will see it by the end of the year, at least half of it. And we saw they are doing English credit screens and whatnot, since they put up one time-coded studio screenshot of that. So we will see where it pops up, when it pops up. We'll see.
See, it's good.
Yeah. And then game news. So for Time Stranger, they put up little character intros for Kanan and Dan. Nothing really new with these. It kind of just gives us a better look at some of the art.
Honestly, it kind of gives me Cyborg 009 feels.
Yeah. It, for Dan. The outfit for Dan, especially with the full scarf, really does just kind of be like Cyborg 009 doing his fast, speedy running. And for the month of April, Hacker's Memory is part of PlayStation Plus's monthly game, so grab that while you can if you want it and have not played it. We also get more profiles for Inori and Agiomon. They aren't really hiding anything here, but we'll pretend that everyone on the planet doesn't already have the exact same guess as to what's going on with these two. Well, Agiomon, there's no mystery because that's actually the character. Inori, I don't think there's a single person who knows anything about Agiomon who isn't just going, okay, this is Junomon. And the weird thing is to me, that's actually kind of bad writing for one key reason. Not because the idea is bad, but because that was like the whole thing with Cyber Sleuth. Like, this is the same thing they did there.
Same plot points.
Yeah. Then we get our little promos for the starters for Patamon, Goemon, and Demi-Devimon. I will say this. The shading on these is much nicer than what we've seen of the game. I really hope that the game shading was early stuff, and this is more what it's going to be. The shading here looks beautiful on these.
Yeah.
And these are...
Especially the precious bowling ball.
Yeah. Like, if the game has this shading instead of what we saw, I would be pretty happy. Then we get a little preview video for Central Town, which shows a few new scenes. We also get to see a little clip of Medieval Gallantmon. Although, a lot of people are saying they announced he's in it. I'm pretty sure he was in that initial clip we saw. Like, we've seen him before.
I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember which clip it was, but I'm 99% sure we saw him before this. Like, this isn't an announcement. Yeah, and even in chat, they're saying it was a blink and miss before, but we definitely did see him. So we'll see what pops up there then. Hey, Dev, did you see that I got interviewed about the movies?
I did, but I did not read it.
Yeah, you can read it later. Mostly just happy to, like I said, happy it's out. Happy to talk about it a bit. Give people involved their dues.
I've had it for several weeks, and it's just been sitting on my desk because I have not had access to the...
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember you sending me a photo, like, I have a copy now. And I was like, great. At one point, we'll have enough time to be able to talk about it once you can watch it and actually have the time and just, yay. So definitely recommend reading that for anyone who has the time because it was a nice little interview. We'll have to see if we grab AR or someone when we actually talk about the movie.
If not, we can just kidnap someone else.
We've done it before. And then Classic Digimon stuff is back on Hulu, which happens... So Adventure Zero to Tamers and Frontier of the Dubs. This happens with Hulu every time where, like, the renewal is right at the window. I want to say last time it didn't go down. Like, the notice vanished, like, the same day that it was going to. Here, I think it was down for, like, 2 months. So the first four shows in 2020 are all there dubbed. So, hooray.
Does it have all the actual episodes of 2020 this time?
2020 never went down. It was always all there.
Oh, okay.
2020.
Because they only went up to like a certain episode and then...
No, the rest of the series. I believe that was the... where if you subscribe to Disney Plus and Hulu, you can see Hulu stuff in Disney Plus, but doesn't always bridge all the content properly. So people are like, they've put it on Disney Plus, but they're only putting half the series. Like, no, you're paying for Hulu. Just go to Hulu. It's there. And then I like that they put up an archive of the stage event from Anime Japan 2025. We don't have much to say about it because a lot of it was just going over like the past year, some of the anniversary stuff. The Terrormon stuff, watching it was amazing. Like they grabbed the...
Terrormon is the best part.
They grabbed the plush and tried posing him for the end photo event thing. So
you should just make a puppet.
See, the issue there is they would do what they did with Harrismon, where everyone's like, oh, that's such a nice plush. It's like, plush. And if you really look at it, you'd realize
it's solid.
It's not yet. It's like foam. It's like that foam, and they kind of put a cloth thing
over it. It's more of a statue than a plush.
Yeah. This, I like that it's the actual plush, and they've just put on a lab coat, because Junko Noda and Siacho, the YouTube guy who was there, they were trying to, like, pose Terrormon as if he were, like Junko Noda was grabbing his ear and posing it, like, with a thumbs up. At one point, Siacho was, like, moving Terrormon as if he were bowing. So that was just great.
Cute.
And then, Dev, time to get a sip of a drink before cards.
Why?
Ready, Dev?
No, but we're going to go through it anyway.
Oh, wait. Someone asked, is there footage of the Harrismon puppet? It was more just like a static plush thing. There wasn't really a puppet. It was sort of just like, it looks like a plush, but it's more just kind of like a generic statue thing that was like... What would you say, like a foot tall?
Yeah, instead of being like soft, about like foot and a half at least.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like...
Yeah, if you look on...
it wasn't just polyfill, it's stuff full of like insulation. Like
search for Harrismon on With the Will and you'll definitely find it. It's one of those things where if you look at it, you'll go, oh, neat, a plush. Then you look at it more carefully and you're like, oh, there's nothing plush about this. And I want to say when they first used it, they explained it was made out of, like, foam or something. Okay.
Yeah, it is for display, not for cuddling.
Yeah. Okay, ready for card, Steph? First off, Scopemon. Thank God they translated the name right.
Yes.
So here's the thing a lot of people need to understand. A number of Atmon had quote-unquote English name translations in Japan because it was basically just, oh, we want to have English here to look cool. A lot of them weren't translated right. And because of this, everyone goes, oh, these are official translations. Instead of just going, oh, they translated something wrong. So, like, people kept trying to call Scopemon Scorpmon. And then the one that I personally hated the most was next, Satellamon. I always hated going Satellamon. And more than that, I hate how people keep trying to convince others now that these are actually dub names. No, they're not. They're proper translations.
There's no dub.
Yeah, Dev, I guarantee you, if you go and check Wikimon, it will say Satellamon. It will say Satellamon is a dub name. I guarantee you it will say that. So the Satellamon one is a redraw of his profile art, which is neat. Then can we, like, I love it. I want to call it King Gigimon.
Fucking cute.
Where it's him and Giarimon, like, sitting on a throne.
But I like how he's angry. He's like, off with their heads.
Yes, exactly. Then Lamiamon.
She's so fucking cute.
I like that they lined up everything to show off after the character was formally announced. So, like, the cards were shortly after and everything. So it just lined up really, really well. Then after Lamiamon is Medusamon. Really nice art there.
Gilly waifu bait.
Then her attack, Raging Serpentine. The snake hair always works.
It's kind of neat.
Cyberdramon and Wargreymon.
I really like Cyberdramon.
So what's weird is, I was going to say, I don't know if I like the Cyberdramon because for a character who's so often shown as rough and tumble, it feels a bit generic. But then Wargreymon, I was like, wow, that's really dynamic. And it feels like the that one variation of Great Tornado where he's spinning around flying.
Okay.
Because we get the flame spinnies and, like, you see what I mean? Where it's doing that one where he turns himself into a tornado and flies around as, like, a drill.
Yes. It's like where he's just starting that kind of turning motion.
Yes, exactly. Then, Medusamon and Ragnamon. So we knew Gaiamon was going to have different art for English and Japan. We didn't know Medusamon and Ragnamon would.
Huh.
Now, what's interesting is, so Medusamon, you can go, oh, the Japanese one feels a little anime plus. The English one looks a little more like a painted comic cover type thing. And it's like, okay, what are they going to do for Ragnamon? Then you look at Ragnamon, and it's weird because Ragnamon looks a bit more textured, is a bit mid-attack, and then the English one feels very anime-ish.
Just like right up in your face.
Yeah. Let's see. Gatchamon parallel card. Oh, it's just gorgeous. And I love that he's using his move Deep Search. Basically, to look up information on Digimon Heroes.
Really cute. I love, like, the little 3D figurines in the background.
I know. They work really well. And what I like, though, is it makes it so easy to, like, see that it's him searching.
Very fun and dynamic.
Globemon. So Globemon, this feels like the art that they use on the Atmon toys.
I barely even remember those.
I vaguely recall a bit of art like this, where, like, it's kind of anime, kind of comic book-ish. But, like, it's weird, because, like, I remember in my head. Then, parallel card for Haru. This is good anime-style art. That is a goofy-looking Gatchamon, though, and I love it.
Okay.
Skullgreymon, which, that's just menacing.
Looks fucking badass.
Yes, it does. Taichi card looks really nice. And I love that you can, like, tell it's the adventure-style backgrounds.
Yeah, with, like, the watercolor and everything.
Yeah. Then Daisuke gets the same with Vimon.
Fucking love, like, the character shading on these.
I know. The Takato Gilmon one has really good shading, and I like that it's in the Gilmon house.
They have bread.
Hero, which, same vibe here. Although, something
it's adorable!
I love the Monkton art. The line art feels slightly different on this one than some of the others. It's a bit more anime style to me. And then we take a break from the cute cards for, hey, look, it's Regulusmon.
Angie.
You know what's weird? You know what this reminds me of? Do you remember the Spider-Man 3 poster with him in the black costume?
From the movie poster?
Where like he's like where he's like leaning up against the glass?
Yes.
Which I think was based on a Spider-Man 1 poster and they just used the black costume. It feels like that to me. Then Pinocchiemon Ace. I don't know why. I just like this one, and there's nothing like really wild about it. It just looks like he's about to hit someone.
As he should.
Then, okay.
He's going to hit them with a band hammer.
The Taiki one looks great. It really feels like they're about to go on an adventure. I really like it.
Probably my favorite of the tamer parallels so far.
Tagaru. So I like this one. My main issue with it is Gumdramon like has his feet like fully planted like he's standing there. But like Tagaru looks like he's like kind of jumping, running or something.
Or like jumping back or something. Or like they should be skateboarding.
Sort of. Oh god, it does look like he should be on a skateboard. Then Elizamon parallel continues the theme of where you see the Digimon in anime style art and you see all their evolutions in a like a mono silhouette type style.
Fucking love this. She looks so adorable.
I know, it works really well. Then Owen Dreadnought. That's some anime-ish style art that works for him.
It's like he's so dramatic, and then he's like a little cute pink clown lizard.
And then moving on from the dramatic to Takuya and Agnimon. So what's interesting is Takuya fits the theme we've seen from the others. Agnimon, it feels like the
a little too zoomed in.
No. You know when you cycle through like character heads or busts in an anime opening? In fact, I think Frontier does this. I think that's what it is.
Saver's second opening definitely does for Ferrari.
And then Bembon gets the anime style with the color silhouettes.
I love this because it's so purple.
Huh, that's interesting. So the one's name is, what is it, Destructomon?
I think it's Destro.
Yeah, okay, Destromon. Does he normally have a mouth? Like, look, he has like the top teeth. Like it's a movable mouth. Is that normal? Have I just not noticed that before?
It might be one of those details that just because it's so
Oh, yeah, I get what you mean. Might not have been noticeable. Then Zenith. Zenith trying to look way past cool.
It looks like a fucking thirst trap photo.
To be fair, he has to pose like this because then he gets the shitty Char outfit. Masaru. Okay, this is a really good one for Masaru and Agumon. Okay, and in chat they said, looking at it, he does Destromon definitely does have the mouth. It's just really easy to not notice it.
It kind of looks like it's just like one of those like solid grills.
Yeah. Then the Masaru one. I love how Agumon is just kind of like sitting there. Because of the text, it's kind of hard to notice that Agumon is, like, sitting down. God, he has a big fucking plushy head, doesn't he?
I was just thinking, like, this really emphasizes, like, how the Saver's partners are just...
No, I know, but, like...
Fucking dumpy things.
But, like, when you think of, like, the scale of the image, like, Masaru's in front, Agumon is a bit in the back, and then you see how giant his head is, it's just like, wow... Then Eximon X. Anytime we see Eximon and Eximon doing anything, it feels kind of impressive. Because so often art of him is just kind of him floating there.
Yeah.
In fact, that's...
Because he's so fucking huge, like, what else is there for it to do?
No, but that's even the thing in the Tenryu Yabuno comic. Anytime we see him, it's just him floating there. Like, time isn't passing, he's just floating. Beelzebub Blast Mode, done by Keita Amemiya. He's done a Digimon card before. A very well-known toku director. Like, he's done a lot of really well-known stuff. I'm sure every once in a while someone's seeing the name and going, wait, that can't be him. And it's like, oh, yes, it is. Somewhat very famous. I'm sure this card's going to go for a cartoonishly stupid amount since it has his signature printed in gold foil.
I'm just fascinated with, like, zooming in and looking at, like, all, like, the... Looks like colored pencil.
No, and, like, he does crazy detailed work. And, like, you can even see, like, the effort... And the weird thing is, it doesn't really look like a Digimon card in style. It just looks really cool. Then, signature card for Zafagamon. which is the saucy. And I love how next to his signature, he drew in a Terramon, which is included.
Love it. It's so cute.
Then, okay, so weirdly, the English card game account put up one preview of Booster EX09, and that's been it. There hasn't been any in the Japanese. There hasn't been any more in the English. It's Agumon at doing the training from the VPET. And you can even see the VPET.
I also love the digital monster frame around it.
Yeah. I like, though, how it not only has the frame, because of the card itself, you can see the little LCD things above his head.
Like the little text.
Yeah. And what's funny is, for me, it feels like the little thing at the bottom left is actually just showing a sprite of that. Like, I know it's just his normal sprite and it's not actually doing anything. I just like how, because of how little animation the VPET has, you could actually think that that's the sprite of him doing that.
Doing his best.
Yeah. Then, for Limited Card Pack 6, Billion Bullet, we've seen most of these, we've seen all of them except the color border cards before, which we don't have any of those yet. So, Terramon, Lotmon, Terramon Assistant, that is just a gorgeous card.
I need this card. If I only get one card from the set, I want a copy of this one.
Yeah. Then Chrome Memory Boost, which I just love this art. It's just fun. And then Chartreuse. I saw it was Chartreuse Memory Boost, and my brain just started laughing.
It's like, that's a pretty specific color.
It's just funny, and I like it. But yeah, it looks nice. Then Card Battle 212. They did a match featuring only cards from Booster Set 21, which is a nice little twist, I think. Then 213, they did a Booster Set 21 match. And then they said something new was coming for the next episode. And the next episode was a Yuki VTuber unpacking the new starter decks. And they had an English version of the episode. And so first off, I don't think the model looks very good.
No, it looks
I feel like a lot of the problems would go away if anytime, because they like detailing the mouth, and they haven't colored the teeth. It's just skin colored, so it looks really fucking weird. And also, if you go between both videos, the person doing the voice, very skilled at seeming personable in Japanese. In English, they are clearly struggling with doing a script, and it just does not work, period.
Yeah, I did not get very far listening in English.
Yeah, I think with English, if they're going to continue that, they need to just have an English voice actor for it. I don't think the Japanese voice actress, because I believe it's the same person.
Sounds the same.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Because their sound's so personable and natural in Japanese, it's hard to tell if it's the same person in English because they're very clearly trying to keep up with the script. And also, it's weird because I don't 100% know what this means for card battle. Because, like, they call it card battle in English. They don't number it. No one from card battle appears in it, but they refer to her as joining the card game family. So what are we going to get with the next episode? Is it just Yuki now? Is it going to go back to the because is this going to just be replaced for Card Room, where they had a couple of the people doing, you know, smaller ones where they didn't need to do a large episode? I don't know.
I feel like it might go back and forth.
I feel like, here's what I think is the main issue for me. After we saw some of them be English sub just like 2 weeks ago and being so full of personality, this just doesn't kind of cut it. Because with Digimon Con, with the few of them being subbed, they were great. This was kind of flat for me. And then Kenji Watanabe will be signing items via PSA for their autograph series. So if you liked overpriced stuff getting sealed in plastic, see, here's the thing. I'm of two minds. One, it's a waste of money, and it's functionally part of a setup treating things as more valuable and investor-ish than they really are, thereby raising the price for everyone who wants to collect stuff for fun. But also, it's not like I would disagree with someone doing it if they just wanted his signature and have never had the opportunity. It's the rest of it around it I don't like.
Yeah, I was listening to my friend rant about hating card slabs lately.
No, and like, here's the thing. No, and I agree with that generically. Like, if you get a ghost rare, I could understand slabby just so it doesn't get damaged, not for a... Because here's the thing. If you get one of those, you get it. It's a collector's item or you're selling it. You're not... It's not... I don't even think they're legal for use. I don't think they'll let you use them in an event. So I
probably because you were part of fighting, you would get murdered.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. Like, I could understand in that case going, I'm going to slab it, and it's going to be like a nice collectible for me. I don't understand the slabbing normal shit, hoping it will, like, take off in cash. Although I...
That's literally it. Just...
Although I really do get a bit of joy out of people who come into the hobbies to try to make money off people, and because they don't know the hobby, they get fucked. Do you remember a few years ago when I told you it was happening more and more with retro games?
Yeah.
So, you'll enjoy this. A bunch of those people went. I know what we're going to do. A bunch of people found the first Spider-Man video game for Atari, and there's still sealed copies that they can buy pretty cheap because, you know, collectors have tons of them. But it's the first, so Spider-Man's big, retro games are big. These new collectors who were doing it just for money decided that's the thing to buy, to sell, to try to sell. The problem is they did like 50 or 60 of them all at once, and it tanked the value. Also, no one wants that game because, one, the game's not good. Two, there were millions of them. It's not a hard game to find. So the value, like, it went up for a week and then it, like, tanked, which makes me happy. But yeah, so if you want to get something signed by Kenji Watanabe by this, you have to A, be aware your thing is going to be slabbed, that's part of the service, and B, that it has to arrive by May 2nd along with any payment or so forth. And then pre-order time. They gave us a bit of heads up that, you know, putting up a page about overseas pre-orders, and then the D3s and Godzillas went up, and I believe they all sold out. Let's see, are they still sold out? Yes, they are.
Yeah.
It feels like there'll be a wave two of these, though, for the English. Did you grab...
I mean, hopefully, but... Did you grab any? I did not get fins.
No. Yeah. I did.
They were on. And also, I don't know what they're going to do because, you know, tariff shenanigans. So are they going to cancel the pre-orders or are they going to say, there's an additional fee?
Yeah, we'll see. Then, tend to get weird... the Pendulum colors are being re-released. Listing showed up at various stores. I have no complaints. It's just kind of weird out of nowhere, but definitely nice. And then some Wave 2 stuff. One, they closed pre-orders for the D3s in Japan and then reopened them in a day for Wave 2s. Because this is purely shipping waves because they have to plan for that. Then... they opened Wave 2 for the Rise of Digimon card set in the U.S., which is that expensive $200 box. Was that already sold out by the time we did the episode last time?
I don't think it was.
I don't remember, but yeah. So they did that. Then, Annabirth, Digimon Interior... someone in chat said yes, by the time we did the show, it was sold out. Then Annabirth. So we knew the Digimon Interior goods were showing up because they were in V-Jump. So they're at Annabirth, and of course the Ikebukuro location's open. The clock, I need to see what the clock looks like in person.
Yeah, like, is it like...
Does it have a shell?
Is it standing? Is it hanging on a wall? What?
Yeah, then I don't know why I actually like the magnet hooks. The goofy sort of rubbery hook things. Still. Now, here's the thing. The mini mirrors. I did not think about using those underneath a cell phone case to kind of look like a mock, like, Digimon version of an Apple logo. But they show a lot of photos of doing that, and I think that's neat.
Huh.
I'd not considered that as an option, to be honest. And then two wall lights. Now, I think they did an Agumon one of these a few years ago.
Yeah, it looks really familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, so those are available now at both Annabirth stores, and they'll be available in a few days online. And poll results. Man, we're all going to be shocked here. The winner was Musimon. With one-third of the votes.
I could have never predicted this.
And second place was Perorimon with 14.7. I don't think... This is what, like, Yumi and AR all said was going to happen.
Yeah.
No shock Absolutely. There. No shock there at all. Now, more exciting, I think, is the new one. So this one is favorite Atmon that is standard grading game type. So there's 9 choices here. There's actually 2.5 popular Atmon here. And a few extra. So the big ones are Offmon and Dokomon. Onmon, I would say, is reasonably popular also. Shotmon, because...
I think Roleplaymon is still...
No, Roleplaymon also. I think people like Shotmon also. I feel like the winner would be Dokomon or Offmon, though.
I feel we're leaning a little more towards Offmon.
But yeah, for me, I would say first or second place could swap between those two. Third and fourth place for me feels like it has to be Roleplaymon or Onmon.
I feel like the rest of them could have like a pretty decent showing.
I feel like Dancemon could have a good showing because some people might look at that and go, "Oh, it's Musimon."
But slightly lime colored. You know what? That's what they should have called Chartreuse memory booster. They should have just called it lime.
But yeah, I do agree with you that Roleplaymon will probably have a decent showing here. Because he's also one of the few random Atmon who had, like, an actual role in the anime.
Yeah, and he's a cute design. He's like a little Muppet little bastard.
He's a little Muppet Dragon Quest hero. And then we have the various stuff from the weekend batches. So first up, reference book updates. Lamiamon, Medusamon, and Shigaramon.
It's the waifu update.
I think Medusamon has the best art of these three, honestly. Then... Aimi Miyazaki showed off shots from his concert in Chengdu, China. You can see a few familiar faces in some of the... Because it was at an event. So, like, one of them is Aim. So, I don't remember if this was... I assume it was a convention, but I don't remember. Let's see. Then Annabirth showed off display with various Digimon products they have on sale. This was before they added the new stuff. Some photos from Anime Japan, which this is, just general showing off of the stuff there. Then a few photos from the stage event. I'm going to show that Terrorimon as many chances as I can.
We all love that fucking Terrorimon plushie.
Then some photos of the cassette wall, which also had a beat break wall next to it. Kakuto went over a few things. He mentioned that it wasn't mentioned on the website, but the Beat Break ad is actually not funded from the crowdfunding project. That was actually just done separately on the same walls in the locations where they did it.
It's like, oh, we have open space? Here, we'll just slap this shit up.
Yeah. He also mentioned that between the three primary YouTube versions of Digimon Adventure Beyond, so not counting the live stream or any other social media ones, there's the Japanese and English ones that... were on the Digimon account, and then the North American upload from Toei US. It passed 1 million by the time he saw it. He mentioned he had to stop reading comments because there were too many.
Never read the comments on YouTube, dude.
I give him credit for trying. For the last month or two, some fans have been putting up mini ads for the various Digimon shows just to like celebrate the end of an anniversary year. They put up a little Tamers one to celebrate the end of the 23rd anniversary. Kakuto went and saw it, and so did Kanaka. Kanaka's photo looks like someone's making him do it. And then Kenji Watanabe was at the Florence Game Festival doing talks, autographs. So there's some photos of him there, which is very neat. Very more interesting photos than we tend to see from people when they go to events, I feel like. And then the Premium Bandai Showroom put up D3s and the Digimentals. I love those little Digimentals.
So fucking badly that they keep selling out.
I know, they're so good. Then card game art. This time it is Arisa with a very... Well, the pose shows up in a lot of stuff, but her trying to think of a victory pose. Do you like how, like, in the victory pose, she's, like, doing the full pose, and Shuman's like, Shuman! Then we get Liberator art from Usagi Bochi, Tomo 01, and Seiho 917.
Very fucking menacing.
I know, like, I'm looking at them. It's just all really good art. The Owen and Elizamon one look especially kind of weirdly creepy. Especially considering, like, that whole chat, that chapter's like... Owen being, like, honest and explaining stuff. And here it's like,
Like, Elizamon is like, I'm gonna bite your kneecaps off.
And then we get social art for the 20th anniversary of the Digimon XL, and it's Banjo Leomon and Darkdramon.
Oh, they're doing the little swipey thing with the accessories that were a pain in the ass to find.
I'm trying to think how Darkdramon's holding the... Because he doesn't really have one of the chip. Oh, he's doing it on his hand. Because you could do that. I always forget with the XL, you could just hold it against your hand and do it.
I never had one. I assumed you always just had to...
I found out about the hand thing later. I don't remember how I found out. But yeah. And they referenced that in the social media message. And then Annabirth put up some photos of the interior stuff just to show it off nicer. The clock, I think it's just clear acrylic or something. It feels like it should be nicer than it is. And then Korea is getting their own version of the...
It's hard to tell.
Yeah. They're getting an adventure exhibition with a few familiar... So various products from May to July. Various products plus some of the events sound familiar. Agumon sculpture, the Digimon analyzer come to life, Garbagemon's bazooka, giant size Omegamon.
Okay.
So yeah, it sounds like they're just moving the exhibition there. So the logo is the same, except it does still say 25th anniversary on it, the logo. I thought they removed that. Then Masashi Harada said it was a perfect sunny day, so he couldn't just take a photo, doing like a nice framed with the sunlight photo of various giant plushies.
Plushies. They're so expensive.
That Mochimon one's so good. And then Volcano Odo posted a familiar hat with his Lego Watakoji. He mentioned that he had the hat at the tribute concert. Let's see. Oh, Chika Sakamoto took photos of the wall in Shinjuku on the last day he was there. She actually noted that she was with Che Kojiro, who was Falcomon in Digimon Savers, and Kazui Akura, who only had a few bit parts in Digimon, but she's had a few very big anime roles. I guess they just went out shopping together and then got photos of this on the way back.
Aw, that's cute.
Okay, we've seen this key art for the card game a number of times. This is the largest we've seen it, and I bit more filled in. Zooming in on it's really neat. Especially how you get that one grayed out Digimon at the top right. Have you noticed all the fun small details on this, Dev?
I'm zooming in and looking around and it's like, ooh.
Would you like to know the best small detail? Go to the bottom right. 2010 Greymon's like getting blinded by Magnemon X.
It's like, what the hell is he glaring at?
He's very clearly like nervous about the light, trying to block it. And also, I like how
he looks a little at
the if you look at the center, then go down a bit, you can see the legendary arms like fighting.
Spotamon has had enough.
I know. There's so much good stuff in this. And then more card game social art. This time, it's Owen spying on Shoto like he mentioned in the strip. Do you like how the Agumon's like, I got better shit to do than stand here.
It's like, you can stalk your boyfriend on your own time, dude.
Yep. And then April social art featuring the beginning of the fiscal year and people and Medusamon is practicing business cards with their senior Minervamon.
They're both snake girls.
Business card practice. I just like how they have her like bowing. They have the snakes looking all polite. It's good. And then 25th anniversary of 02 social art. I like how they're enjoying a wobbly Dark Tower game together using the Digimentals.
Would buy that.
See, you would, but you would never play because you'd get worried the toy Digimentals would crack from falling.
It could do is I could make molds of them.
Also, can we just point out...
And then make duplicates.
Can we just point out them doing their best to have Armadamon hold something?
He looks so polite. Well... Oh, he's gently clapping that Digimental in his big chunky claws, which look like they have no ability to move.
And then for chat, time for questions. As we pulp the ones that were sent ahead of time, someone said, do you think there's any chance that the Susanumon model kit worked by combining the Kaiser Greymon kit and an unannounced Magna Gurumon kit?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, because people have been wondering that since they announced Kaiser Greymon. I don't see any suggestion that from what we've seen of Kaiser Greymon, that there's any wonkiness there to suggest there's a second usage for it. Like, when you look at the Imperial Dramon kit, especially in Dragon Mode, it looks kind of fucked up in a few ways. Because...
yes, it's made to, you know, transform and stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, my feeling is no. I would love to be proven wrong, it just does not feel like that's what's happening.
Also, it feels like they would make you, you know, buy a Susanimon kit and a Magna Gurumon kit instead of just Magna Gurumon and...
that's what Premium Bandai's Kaiser for. Gurumon.
Exactly.
Then Stark asks, if you had a Digimon on your computer as a virtual assistant that could interact with files and programs and find things for you, what would you most want a Digimon's help with? Let's see.
Organizing my goddamn art files.
I feel like file organization is kind of like the obvious answer, to be honest.
Absolutely.
And yeah, also, that's how I feel.
Answer me.
Let's see. Next up, what movies are you looking forward to in the short term? And then how do Tron and Superman look to us? So I guess first, Dev, did you see the new Tron trailer?
Not at all. This is actually the first time I'm hearing about it.
It stars Morbius.
Is it Morbin time?
No. So here's the thing. It doesn't look bad to me. I have an issue with it, though. If you think of Tron in Tron Legacy, despite the bad things that happen to them, they all feel and look very positive. So the whole Tron is stuff is leaving the grid to invade the real world and attacking it doesn't feel like it vibes with the first two movies. That idea of things coming out does vibe with the ending of the second movie, but the whole, oh, it's all just like attacking and like chaos, it doesn't feel quite right. And then, did you see the Superman clip from the other day?
Not at all.
Oh, it's so good.
This is the first time I'm hearing about this.
Dev, if you saw the clip, so did you see the trailer a while ago where like Superman like crashes and then he whistles for Krypto?
Not at all.
Okay, so Superman's on the ground, like, clearly there's been some big fight, he's in the Arctic, and he's trying to whistle for the Krypto. And then you see, like Krypto running in the snow really fast. And then, have you done the thing where you have a dog, and you're, like, laying there tired or hurt, and the dog starts jumping on you because it's excited?
I know,
and Krypto starts doing it to Superman, like, as he's bleeding and everything. And people are getting upset by it, like, that's not how Krypto would act. Yes, it's fucking what. He's a dog.
It's like, have you had a fucking dog? That is exactly what they do.
But then he grabs part of his cape and, like, shakes it at Krypto, like, home. So Krypto grabs it, starts dragging him to Fortress of Solitude, which we see pop up out of the ice. And then they showed the Superman robots. If you aren't familiar, in various comics and cartoons and stuff, like, in his base, they're, like, robots that take care of it. And the robots all look like they're out of the comic All-Star Superman, like, exactly. And it's like, oh, it looks so fucking good. For movies I'm looking forward to, I think April 30th is actually something I want. One second. Because the new movie of Rosa Versailles is going to be on Netflix.
Hmm.
I'm looking forward to that. That's one of those real old-style shoujo ones, and I'm really looking forward to the movie.
Yeah, like, one of my friends really fucking loved that series, like, years ago.
Yeah, so I don't know if the new movie will be good, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. Yeah, so it's going to be on Netflix April 30th. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing. Then let's see, in chat. In Digimon lore, does anyone say F you more than Dominimon? Because Dominimon says in the card game whenever someone tries to lead an angel. I don't know, that kingly Gigimon might. That feels like something. Any ideas, Dev?
Not at all.
Then someone asked... Well, this is kind of a double question. First, will the podcast go weekly again for Digimon Beat Break? We haven't talked about it at all. At this point, we're half...
Finally, it does.
Yeah, we're half a year out. I imagine it'll be based on our schedules at the time. And also, of course, what
and
the
also
show...
the content of the show, because it's like, is there enough here to require it every week, or is it just like...
Well, that's the other thing. If there's a show every week... it may just mean we do a 45-minute podcast every week with 20 minutes of it being about the show. We'll see what pops up. But yeah, I don't think you or me have said a word about it to the other at this point. We're so far out at this point that who knows. And then, do we think there'll be a new manga or comic when Beat Break starts? It feels like something.
I mean, Digimon comic is doing pretty well. So.
Here's what we need. Then a month before Beat Break starts, they announce that in V-Jump, Digimon Dreamers returns.
Yes! Starring Wanyamon.
Someone said, is it possible for them to love Patamon and Tailmon more as it's their favorite Digimon?
It is possible.
Yeah, here's how it'd be too much. If you have so many plushies of them that it's inconvenient for you to get into bed.
And that's why you get a bunk bed, so you can put all of them on one bed and then you sleep on the other.
Then someone asked, thoughts on the Switch 2 reveals, and now that the system has been announced, do you still think Time Change will show up on it? Let's do the second one first. Do we think Time Change will show up on it? I think that's a yes.
That's a yeah.
Yeah. Thoughts on the Switch 2 reveals? Pretty solid on everything, on mostly everything. System price is about what I expected, to be honest. That's kind of in flux now with tariffs, so we'll see. But you also have to remember, I really like hardware, so like I had a whole list of stuff I was hoping we would see, but most of it I expected not. Everything I wanted is there except one thing, so I'm very happy.
What is that one thing?
I wanted the first model to have an OLED screen. Here's the thing. You can swap out an OLED in a future model easily enough. The stuff that it has, like it does 120 frames per second on the portable itself. It has a proper screen for that. The screen on the portable does HDR. So when people on the podcast hear me rambling about HDR, they may actually see it at that point. When it's plugged into the dock, it will do 4K.
It'll be quite a while before I pick it up, but that's honestly with any Nintendo console. I usually don't grab it in the first year.
Yeah, so we'll see. Game prices are higher than I expected, but I think everyone's kind of seen that game prices were going to go up soon, so I'm not super shocked. It also boils down to game by game for me, because, like, for example, like, Dev, did you have Mario Kart 8 on the Switch?
Oh, hell no. I haven't owned a Mario Kart game since fucking Double Dash.
See, I wasn't big on Double Dash, honestly.
Double Dash was my favorite, but thing is, like, me and all my friends would, like, cram into one room, and it would be complete fucking murder and chaos on a baby park.
Baby Park is in Mario Kart 8, and it is always chaos. But yeah, so the new Mario Kart looks so awesome. Did you see stuff about it, Dev?
It looks really fucking good.
I know. It really does.
I just like the off-roading bullshit, because I just like to wander the fuck off during
games. No. So here's what I saw. When I saw some of the clips of it being played at the event stuff after, I realized it was actually done better than I thought, because I kind of went, I don't want this to be like Burnout Paradise, where it's just, here's where you start, here's where you end, get there, however. The courses are actual courses. It's when you're done with the course, everything opens up. So, like, the courses themselves... Like,
you can keep practicing the same little strip over and over again without having to restart the entire goddamn course if you wanted to practice.
Yeah. I'm also really looking forward to seeing the various games getting updates for the Switch 2. Because the pricing structure for that's interesting. If it has big new DLC, it's $20. If it has something small, it's $10. If it's just a graphical update, it's free. So, like, I'm very curious to see Mario Odyssey's getting an update. What's that going to be like? Because that's a free update. The game already runs great. Will that be 4K on the new system? I'm very interested to see that. I don't find it surprising that Mario Kart 8 is not on that list. I feel like it will be a while before they will give an update for Mario Kart 8, because they don't need to compete with themselves. So yeah, so I'm very excited and curious to see certain things. So we will see.
Please let them give new Pokemon Snap an update with new areas.
They
pay for it.
They announced updates for free ones for Scarlet and Violet, I believe. So maybe those will run
hopefully
stable now.
Hopefully that just makes, like, it doesn't... Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully they aren't lag hell.
I seeing the updates for the Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom looked really nice. But I'm more excited for the updates for Link's Awakening and Echoes of Wisdom. Because those are free updates, but those games had, the way those games were buffered, they would run at 60 FPS, but if anything went off for even a moment, they would drop to 30. So if you were in an area that was done oddly, it would just jump up and down at random and felt like hell. So I'm really excited to see what happens there. Then let's see. Okay, if Agumon Expert evolves, would he still have the lab coat, for example, Wargreymon on Expert? The answer is maybe.
Be better.
Then,
well, the lab coat might change. Might have to go and get a new one.
That's true. Then Ramon wants to know, do we think Digimon Beat Break were related to the card game since Liberty so long ago? It doesn't feel like that's the intention based on the one teaser we have. It doesn't feel like the idea is, hey, it's a card game. We don't technically know. Then someone says, when they do the card game start of Digital Gate Open, should they point a D3 at your cell phone? No, you should have a D3 memory counter. Then do you think we'll see more from the Godzilla and Digimon collaboration? I assume, okay, ignoring that there's two more figures, do you think we're going to get more in those?
Yeah. Because, I mean, look at just how insanely fucking fast the first one just sold out.
I don't know if we're going to get more in that, though, because, like, they're kind of, like, tapping out with the Godzilla 70th at this point. Like, it seems to be almost done. So I don't, honestly don't know. Let's see,
Ooh, I have an idea.
What?
Digimon Godzilla pop-up shop with drinks.
Only if they do a reproduction of that Godzilla that's in Shinjuku to put on the side of cups. Do you know what I'm talking about or no?
I may be thinking of something different.
Let me see if I can find the picture. It is a tourist attraction in Shinjuku, right, connected to a movie theater. Yeah, here's a picture. One second, there's that. And let me send this to you too, Dev.
Okay, I was thinking of the right thing.
Yeah. In fact, at the beginning of the City Hunter movie, someone shoots a bazooka at it. But yeah, so yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, I wouldn't mind one of those on a cup. We're not going to answer questions about what Digimon do we think about might show up in Beat Break just because it's too early at this point. Last chance.
That little lizard bastard.
Last chance for questions from chat. Look, I know he looks like a gecko, but every time I look at him, I just get reminded of Sergeant Frog.
Frog?
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, it's not that we don't want to answer Beat Break questions. It's just that we don't really have anything to answer, so it's just kind of guessing.
I mean, our guesses are always fantastic, but, you know. Yeah. It's still so, just guessing.
See, someone in the chat says they see chameleon, not gecko. And yeah, I mean chameleon, gecko, so forth. I think that's about it for chat, Dev. While we wait to see what Wikimon article would you like people to read?
Geckomon.
That's a good one. I can be found with the will as always. And we will be back in, let's see. Yeah, I don't see why we wouldn't be here on the 21st, but we'll see if it gets moved a bit or not. And yeah, as we get closer to Beat Break, I'm sure me and Dev will talk about if we do it weekly or not. It also depends on if we would try to grab a third person and what their schedule would be like.
I mean, as long as it's about the same time it is now, I can do pretty much anytime because I'm already out of work.
Well, that's the thing. I think generically, we both like the time we do the show at. So it'd be like, hey, if someone wants to join us, that's good, but we'll see what happens. And yeah, even in chapter like summer is when we'll get Beat Break answers, and yes, that's absolutely true. Yeah, exciting times ahead, so we will catch you guys later. Thank you everyone for showing up. Bye.
Bye.